Okay, this is session number 62, analyzing the tiny note chart. It's February 2nd, 2009, my 87th birthday, and we have Scott online as usual, but we have a guest. We have Will Arakan, who did the pixel called I'm Not Beer. We featured him recently on Dobstown.com. You can hear the two sessions we did with him and talking about the xenochrony or personal synchronicity that led to this situation. And we just got an update on that. Why Will is the first person to be sitting in as an interloper on these private discussions about what the heck did I mean. So, Will, why are you here?
Well, I remembered recently as a child, when I was around probably eight or nine years old, I started tagging, and I started tagging the word Bob on walls, usually with pencil. I didn't really understand too much about graffiti at the time. But yeah.
You did it on walls in your home, or?
No, around town. I remember doing it on a, like the underside of a chair at a doctor's office in Roseville.
Were you aware of that World War II thing, Kilroy was here, that was signed all over the place?
Yeah, my mom told me about that when I was little.
Maybe that's what caused it. You were just you're putting your little code, Bob, all over the place. And that's about 16 years ago, preparing the effects preceding the causes, which is what the charts are about, preparing you for this exclusive on my birthday. Now, how's that? I mean, you're at the private birthday party for Bob. And we're actually finally, after 61 times 2 hours at least each session, right, Scott?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what, 122 hours, we finally show up, time to do the Dobbs Quadrant, the hidden ground of the whole operation. So I have a way to begin talking about it. Scott, is there something you want to mention first?
No, go right ahead.
So that's great, Will. Great that you signed Bob all over the place. So we'll find out if you ever find a deep soul partner, and she was writing Connie all over the place when she was nine. Maybe that's Morgan, right? You check Morgan's past, you know, maybe it's been suppressed. Okay, so here's a way, the big picture of looking at the tiny note chart. I don't know, Scott, if you're familiar of the pattern I've mentioned many times that McLuhan uses. He said, when a new environment goes, a new technology which creates an environment invisible, the effects of which are not really noticed consciously, they affect the older environment, the older technology. And he talked about how Plato turned oral dialogue or the oral tradition or oral culture into an art form. Are you aware of that pattern, Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've talked about it before probably on the tape. So if the phonetic alphabet created enough visual abstraction in the mind's eye to turn speech into the content of the hidden effects of writing by specifically the phonetic alphabet. And we have done a YouTube, Buzz Kosten did a YouTube on McLuhan explaining the particular effect of the phonetic alphabet. That's about 20 YouTubes ago. And we're at 182 now, so you go back there. I remember what it was called, Something Right, W-R-I-T-E. Look for the YouTube on the list on FiveBody.com that has W-R-I-T-E in it, the title. That's the one where it's very rare. Never have we gotten McLuhan on tape talking about the particular effect of the phonetic alphabet, and he writes about it in his books, but you have to read all his books to find where he writes it. But it's the key assumption he uses. So the new phonetic alphabet effect goes around the oral culture, and Plato visualizes the oral tradition with the Socratic dialogues. And then Aristotle adds an encyclopedic aspect to it. Okay, so then when the printing press comes in, it turns the manuscript into an art form, and you get the novel, or maybe you get plays, or you get different aspects of Renaissance literature. And then newspapers, which have many book pages on each newspaper page, so it turns the printed book into an art form. That's actually when McLuhan says the novel shows up, the human interest story. So that's the book, the printed book turned into an art form by the new invisible affecting environment, the newspaper. when the electric age comes in, it turns the newspaper into art form. But just to jump ahead, the movie, as a new electric, mixing electric and mechanical technology, the movie turns the novel into an art form, or the novel in specific, since the, not just the printed book. So the novel becomes the content of movies, and the novel was the result of the newspaper going around the printed book, but when the movies go around the newspaper, the novel becomes an art form. So then McLuhan said when TVs came in the 50s, it turned movies into an art form. Movies before television were just pop culture, just garbage, just pumped out like TV serials, and it was the French gang, the New Wave guys, and other people, but we know of Godard, Truffaut, and those guys. They started taking Hollywood movies seriously. And so that was one aspect among the aesthetes of turning the movie into an art form. And the other aspect McLuhan pointed out was the Late Show on TV was a movie. So movies came back as content of television. So they turned it turned attention on the movie as an aesthetic object on the mass level through the late shows, or just the new TV channels playing a lot of movies. So then he said the computer turned the television into an art form, and the satellite turned the computer into an art form. All right, so that was his pattern. You get that, Will? That every new environment turns the previous environment into an art form. And in Western culture, art form means programming by the individual. So the printed book is a mass environment at the time of Gutenberg, and it grows for a couple hundred years, and then eventually the individual hijacks it and makes a new kind of book. So one of the first writers during this Gutenberg phase was Montaigne, who, that's M-O-N-T-A-I-G-N-E, he just wrote essays and confessionals about his life and all kinds of stuff, and he was asked once why he did this. He says, I owe a portrait of myself to the public. I owe a portrait of myself to the public. So as he was one of the first guys who became an independent author. Remember, manuscripts were done anonymously, group writing. So he felt, though, that the public that the printed book created, that he was responsible to confessing everything that ever thought or ever did to them. So he wrote a lot about himself. So that's an example of one person hijacking the printed book environment. So in the West, since the Western visual Gutenberg culture is based on the individual as archetype or culture hero, so, you know, you have, with movies become an art form, Andrew Serres coined the term auteur. You know about that, Will? You know about
Yeah.
So there, the focus on the director of these movies is significant. Whereas probably in the 30s when John Ford, John Huston, what were those guys' names? John Huston, somebody Ford, all these people were making movies. It was a collaboration. You know, everybody is running around the studios and had neurotic actors acting out stuff. And so it probably, the director was directing it, but it's only after TV goes around movies that we look back at the movies and start really looking at the director and declaring the director the heavy mind behind the movie.
Well, I think Cecil B. DeMille was always considered the giant force in movies. He was a director.
Right, but that, he was before, you know, he goes back into the teens, doesn't he? Teens, 20s.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the ones that they rhapsodize about today. Well, any of them, Howard Hawks, somebody Ford's, somebody John Huston, millions of them. So that's the retrospective Western mind looking back and saying, no, that group effort really was organized by one guy, and he programmed the movie. So we're putting the individual authority, or the individual programmer, into the art form. Okay, so what with that pattern, I have that pattern in mind when I made the tiny note chart and the other Dobbs formula chart, but let's just stick with the tiny note chart. What you have is the Android meme shows up starting in 1960, and it's going to replay most of human culture, but especially the electric phase from the telegraph 1750, which I use that date on the other chart, because that's when Ben Franklin, 1757, starts discovering lightning or thinking about it, writing about it when he does the kite experiment. And then thinking about electricity leads to the other people thinking, eventually they produce the telegraph in the 1837-38. But it's based on almost 100 years of thinking, so the thinking is the effects preceding the cause being the actual technology that shows up. So the Android meme is replaying at least 150 years of culture, but all the ancient media, books and that, are the content of television and everything and newspapers, so he includes all the culture, all the history of technologies. So the Android meme, as it says on the chart, now you look at it, you see at the bottom left, or the bottom right, where it says Rumpelstiltskin. You see that little thing in the bottom right-hand corner? It says 1960 to 1990. Now, if you go back up to the beginning, it says 1840 to 1900, but you look to the left, this is in the LaRouche quadrant, or the Holypathic Radio Satellite, you look under God, you'll see 1960. It's actually 1960, okay, where that begins, the radio satellite. So it moves through up to the Dobbs quadrant, where under Orford-Perot spirals, this is 1990. So 1960 to 1990 is the stretch of the chart, and even though it goes back to 1840, that's the content of actually the Android meme happening between 1960 and 1990. So, starting in 1960, the Android meme is going to go through this process of the previous environment becoming an art form. Okay, you follow that, Will?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, the first medium is radio as art form. Now, note, it's holopathic radio slash satellite. The Android meme starts happening, a digital convergence of all kinds of technologies. It starts happening in 1960. Sputnik has gone up. So the last extension of the human-created technology is Sputnik, which extends the planet, not just human bodies and parts. It extends the planet. So the Sputnik and American satellites start being sent up and forming a ring around the planet. Inside that, a secret invisible environment, the Android meme, is sneaking up. So that means that the Android meme is operating within the satellite environment, but the digital Android meme gradually subsumes the old massive TV environment, the massive computer environment, the massive satellite environment, and shrinks down the global theater effect that the satellite is creating in the 60s, so it becomes tinier and tinier and becomes holopathic. And the word holopathic is a combination of homeopathy and the hologram. So the hologram, and I've repeated this probably many times through this series, but just for Will's benefit, so the hologram is shrunk. The hologram as an effect of the global theater, not a technical hologram, a laser beam created thing. The satellite environment is anticipating an actual showing up of the hologram. So the effects of the hologram are here before the actual technical hologram. But that hologram inside the global theater created by satellite is shrinking due to the digital Android meme gradually eating the whole thing up like Pac-Man. You know, that first image 30 years ago. Remember Pac-Man, Will?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So as the Android meme grows from 1960 to 1990, it's swallowing the older media landscapes. And so therefore, the general effect of the mixture of those media landscapes, which are the content of the global theater, that global theater is being shrunk. And so that hologram, the shrinking process is like homeopathy, and homeopathy becomes, you know, as little, very little tiny remnants of the memory of the substance, though the memory is still there. So the shrinking of the hologram, I call a homeopathic, I make it similar to a homeopathic process. I put hologram and homeopathy together to get holopathic. So the Android meme is taking the holopathic radio inside the satellite environment. So that's why that category is there. And shrinking it and gradually eating it, and in a sense the Android meme becomes bigger than all the previous global theater environments or phases. So within the disappearing radio and disappearing TV and disappearing computer and disappearing satellite environment due to the digital subsuming of them, there is a subtle art form process going on. So for a while, the beginning phases of the Android meme has a radio sensibility. Okay, that's dominant. And the radio as environment produces the first individualistic hijacking of the radio landscape, that huge radio environment that caused World War II. And what would that be? It has to be between 1960 and 1990. It is the Beatles. The Beatles, and you could say Rolling Stones, the whole thing, but the Beatles are the ones who supposedly put this whole British invasion on the map. And they come after 1960. And so the Beatles, as you see, it's in the McLuhan Quadrant, the Beatles take the WASP culture's English pop music, and they stick the Liverpudlian Cockney accent into it. So they hijack the rock and roll culture. They also start writing their own songs, which was unique. I mean, Tin Pan Alley did it in the 50s in New York City. So the hijacking of the collective effect of radio into an art form is represented by the Beatles effect, what they did. Now, that only lasts a few years, and so the Android meme now has to move into the next phase of TV being a lens, being an art form, or the TV sensibility being an art form. And so the whole idiopathic television / satellite phase, when it's an art form, is when individuals can hijack the massive TV landscape. Do you know what that would be, Will?
Yeah, the massive TV landscape?
What would be the hijacking by individuals turning the TV landscape into an art form?
Would that be the computer?
No, it would be Nam June Paik and the Portapak, the video Portapak.
Video art.
Right, which came from Japan, and Nam June Paik claims he was the first to get one off the boat, or maybe got it in Japan, 65, 66, 67 in that period. But he starts taking the media, the television landscape, and personalize it, programming it with an individualistic, artistic sensibility. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And he's doing it not on the content, but on the form. He's carrying around his own private TV camera, making his own TV content. Up to that point, you got to be ABC, NBC, CBS, or other corporations to make TV content. So he alters the form, just like the Beatles. Remember, the Beatles are considered retrospectively, or maybe even at the time by more informed people, as replaying the American blues and the American culture of the 50s. The mass market rock and roll culture of the 50s was reprocessed by the Beatles and sent back to America. Right? And so you got the Beatles. So then I would say the beginning of the video, personal video camera revolution, is turning video into an art form.
Hey, Bob.
And beg your pardon?
Let me just interrupt for a second, because just coincidentally, a couple hours ago, I watched the Paul Ryan interview that Harold Channer did with Paul back in 1995.
Yeah, I was just going to mention it.
Yeah, he also,
he's one of the early video artists.
Right, and but he was careful to explain that because he was he had an office down the hall from McLuhan, and he knew Marshall, and Marshall got him to recognize that that every new medium has potentials that are unrealized. Like you were saying, when the new medium comes in, they just use content from the old medium to fill up the new medium, because nobody knows what the parameters and the potentialities are of the new medium. And so I guess it's when that new medium, when the new medium obsolesces the old medium, then the actual intrinsic potentials of that older medium become more obvious.
Right, and in our culture, it's usually laid out and done by individuals. So, yes, Nanjum Paik was inspired by McLuhan, Paul Ryan, the whole gang of them there in New York, were including Harold Hudson Channer. He was one of the first guys with a video camera, port-a-pack, and they were inspired by McLuhan. Okay, so, but here's the, this is the Android meme doing it. I mean, Paul Ryan, did you hear the whole Paul Ryan interview?
Yes, I did.
Okay, there's some interesting things that relate to what we're going to talk about in that interview. So, you have, this is in, we have to realize, this is the Android meme making humans think that they're creating art, hijacking it. McLuhan had mapped out the vast landscapes. He said as early as 1962 that television was becoming an art form due to the satellite effect. And he may even said it was becoming archetypal, which is the later phase of an art form. Once something's an art form, it becomes like so recognized, becomes a public property almost, then it becomes archetype. McLuhan had this four phases. A new technology is the last word. And then people use it, and they get used to it, so it becomes sort of obsolete, especially when a new technology comes in. But after it's obsolete, it's then recovered as an art form. And then after a period of time used as an art form, it then becomes an archetype. So McLuhan was on top of television becoming an art form and saying it in essays in the early 60s before anybody knew of the port-a-pack or thought about it. So it's appropriate that Nanjum Paik and Paul Ryan and others say they were inspired by McLuhan. Now, okay. So the next phase is holopathic computer/satellite. Still under the Android meme effect, still the Android meme swallowing the global theater. It's just these phantoms of previous media landscapes like radio and television which are being featured as art forms. So what is the personal hijacking of the computer? Within the Android meme stretch of time from 1960 to 1990, can you guess what would be the computer being turned into an art form? Any of you? Anybody out there? The millions listening.
Well, I can think of two examples, one of which is during the Super Bowl, I guess it was yesterday, there were 52 commercials, and one of them was going to be selected to win some million-dollar award, and the one that was selected was not made by Madison Avenue. It was made by a couple guys in their garage. It was pretty homemade-looking, dinky little commercial, but it got selected for the million-dollar prize. And also this new movie, Slumdog Millionaire, which has a low-budget appeal, a quality about it coming out of India, is being positioned to win the Academy Award for the Best Picture. So it's I would say one of the effects is that anybody can make an Academy Award movie now.
Okay, now did Slumdog Millionaire have something to do with yesterday, or that's just a separate thing?
That's a separate thing.
Oh, okay. All right, well, you're looking at a particular artifact, a commercial movie. The answer is probably not obvious, but once I say it and explain it, it's obvious. The people who took the computer landscape, which had been around 30 years, not early 40s, you know, when looking at IBM, apparently IBM did stuff with the Nazi concentration camps, used IBM early technology. But so to take that mainframe computer environment and make it an art form where individuals hijack that, it's actually, I thought we were going this way, Scott. You mentioned the garage. Who are the famous people in the garage?
Oh, yeah, the Apple guys.
Jobs and Bill Gates.
Yeah.
So Steve Jobs and Bill Gates are the individualistic guys who turned that massive, you know, global environment of computer to the degree it happened by the 70s. They, within the digital technology, within the digital Android meme, hijacked it and became a threat to IBM, which everybody thought was immortal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what we're looking at is
The empowering of the individual and the beginning rise of the anthropomorphic element competing with the Android meme element.
Right. So just the so when you get into the technical phase or the computer phase, the art form is coming up with some technology that leads to the personal computer. It's not like the Beatles. They're still within the old radio TV environment, and they create music. Then video art is another kind of content. But the computer guys, they create a whole new form, right?
Which musically with punk rock and the DIY thing, and then hip hop at the time too.
Right, and that's balanced off by the group mind in disco.
Right.
You always have the individual group mind in a dialectic. So the so the computer is turned into an individual art form, but it's done technically or technologically by Gates and Jobs. They're the main icons, but there's other people involved too. So anyways, you follow what I'm saying. Now, this is all within the seduction of the Android meme. I'm pointing to how the Android meme really is quicksand. Okay, so then the next phase, should I give dates there? I have 1960 for radio, 1965 for McLuhan, 1970 for the computer Thompson phase, and then I have 1980 for the satellite phase. So what would be the satellite as art form in the individualist Western context? What would be that? This is a tough one, unless you've been paying attention, Scott. I don't expect Will to get this. But what would be the hijacking, the individualizing of the satellite environment?
Not even going to guess at it. Nothing's coming up for me right now.
Right.
It wouldn't be like cellular.
Close. It's the beginning of networking on computers. Basically, AOL and then Netscape. That's when the masses join the computer environment. But see, the computer environment by that time, by 1980, is a mixture of satellites and cables and computers and television and all kinds of things. It's the beginning of convergence. You see what I'm saying? So the convergence aspect of the satellite phase, and I define the satellite phase in a memo to Prince Charles, which was published, I think that's in the booklet for the Bosnian Ecology album. The satellite phase is a mixture of any media. It's mythic government, myth being a combination of different kinds of technological environments. And so the mixture, the convergence aspect, is what is indicated in the holopathic satellite squared. You're squaring the satellite process. Just as originally the satellite was an extension of the whole planet, it was an extension of everything made by humans, the satellite phase squared within and by the Android meme must be the extension of everything. So it's an extension of all the media made possible by digital technology, which leads to convergence. Now, convergence was a term people were talking about by the late 90s as a phase coming in the e-market, in the e-world. But back in 1980, the beginning of digital technology and the personal computer takes off in 1984, but it's the convergence which is a major seduction factor of the Android meme, because it's going to, and remember the chart is the effects preceding the causes, satellite phase and that becomes squared is going to make everybody an astronaut. And everybody becomes an astronaut when they get their personal computer and are hooked in through Netscape and the abilities of the computers, the graphic interface, what was it, graphic user interface, all that stuff from 95 on, which created the dot-com boom. That is where everybody contains all media, and they can start to navigate and interact with people all over the world and with different video images, musical images, book, newspaper, any kind of previous media. You follow the theme here, the convergence. You get that?
Yeah. Also, what's beginning to merge is, which we're really seeing happening dramatically right now, but the beginning of the merging of cultures, the melting down of, you know, I mean, if the United States was a melting pot, now the planet is becoming a melting pot. It's all sort of melting into the Western holographic meme, I suppose.
That's right. It's melting into the android meme. And then the android meme becomes more seductive by saying, no, it melts into you. We become post-cultural or post-mass mind. And everybody creates their own little MySpace collective mosaic of themselves.
And
then becomes Quadrophenia.
Right. And then that leads to the phenomena yesterday where the two guys in the garage get the $1 million award for creating the best out of 52 TV commercials for the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
I probably jumped the gun on that one a little bit.
Who did?
I did when I put it in the earlier phase, because that's actually happening right now.
Yeah. Okay, so the so what we have here, we have the shrinking of the radio.
Also, just to amplify what you're saying, because also by 1980, the terrestrial computer network is becoming more interconnected, and so now the satellite network being able to merge in with the terrestrial computer network and then getting feedback, feeding back from terrestrial to orbit and back to terrestrial again is creating a resonant envelope around the entire planet.
But that's shrinking from 69 holeopathically.
Right, that's part of the shrinking, yeah.
Yeah, now I forgot to mention that another aspect of the satellite environment becoming squared and leading to the Internet is DARPA. Remember, the Internet came from supposedly the Pentagon building a structure that would be a backbone so that global communications would remain intact if anybody got nuked.
Right.
Remember that? And that is the idea of keeping the satellite network, which by 1980s is hooked up in major cable ways, using other older media. So as it comes together, it's the preservation of that, the desire to preservation that from being knocked out by an earlier technology, the hydrogen bomb or whatever, missiles, that created the environment that led to the Internet. So think of the converged satellite thing as symbolized by DARPA, or originally was ARPA, I think, then became DARPA. So that is another aspect of what the that phase of holopathic satellite squared means. All right? And so what happened is that everybody now is their own DARPA. They have their own networks, Internet networks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they shrunk it down. Here's the military building this network for to protect the United States or NATO or something. And that now is shrunk down to each person has their own Internet matrix tube shell protective shield around themselves, supposedly, you know, with all this blocking software and spyware stuff that people buy, right? Mm. Firewalling.
Right.
Okay.
And then when does this organization come in? I'm blanking on the name of it, but the one that was supposedly monitoring all transcontinental messages?
That comes in the late... Well, that's Echelon.
Echelon, yeah.
Yeah. And, but that, you know, that begins at Menwith Hill in England in 1960. And that's what I was part of. And that's a hidden reason why this begins in 1960. Solar government started creating the Android meme with that structure, Echelon, in 1960. So what we got here is the shrinking. The Android meme is going through the phases of every previous technology, subsumed by a newer one, and therefore the older one becomes an art form. So in a 30-year process, this phase is sped up, replayed by the Android meme, where radio becomes a big phenomenon. And definitely, you think of the Beatles, it was a radio, supernova radio reality, right?
Mm.
And they even thought there was a revolution going to happen. The counterculture comes out of that. WBAI, or the Pacifica Network, gets built so that people can start doing their own programming on the radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into FM. So the radio environment becomes broken off from the huge radio environment of the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, say. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One big conglomerate. Definitely, you didn't have any say in the matter. An American citizen didn't. But now, people could start making their own records and their own, get four-track, eight-track studios start being built in the 60s. So, this Supernova Radio, symbolized by the Beatles or all those groups, anybody, but the Beatles in history are the figure for it, right? Would you agree?
Sure.
Yeah, even
yeah,
though.
I would.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking with, you know, on one level of the charts, dealing with mass media stereotypical images, cliches that become archetypes. So then the video phase is not, it's not really any particular artist. It's just people making video, and it became a new art form, supposedly. But a lot of, I think...
Yeah, the whole MTV phenomenon was a commercial outgrowth of that.
That's a little later. That's not, MTV is part of the convergence, the satellite phase.
Yeah.
But it does have its roots in video art.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. And Nam June Paik is one of the, considered the father of all that. So
right.
we're talking about art form, so we're looking at individual, quote, geniuses, right? What's interesting, radio is a collective art form. It always was, and so the group is, so the, it's not one person. It's four people. It's the Beatles, right? So it's a group mind that comes out of radio, but with
right,
the video.
Previous to that, we had Elvis being the single guy, representing the previous phase, right?
Yeah, I have Mama's. Yeah, he's in the previous phase, and he's on my chart. Let's put that aside. I just want to say the next point. The thing about the video, with the video camera, you can start making your own video content, and that's the beginning of what I call voluntary ESP, where you disconnect from the cloned ESP of the massive radio and TV environments pre-1960, and you create your own little video networks. Paul Ryan talks about how he wanted to set up his own TV channel, an ecological TV channel. So you do have the collective aspect, but it becomes personal. And the video, because it's an eye medium, even though it's a tactile eye, it's not a literate eye, but it's eye for most people, it goes more to the individual as opposed to the Beatles. But you notice, the Beatles, many groups break up and the artist goes solo, right? The bands break up and certain key members go on to solo careers. So there is that part of it. But that's probably due to the effect of the computer and the satellite on culture and the music industry by the late 60s. So anyways, so the video artist, then you have the computer artist, and that's Gates and Jobs, two icons. And then you have, just an aside, I wonder if Jobs will die today as I talk. Apparently he won't die for another 6 months, but apparently we've been informed he'll be going soon. And so we're now that I've wrapped it up and putting his little donkey tail in the chart, his job is done. We now know what he was, right? So he can die. He goes into the chart as dirty the computer into an art form. The satellite is art form. By the Android meme, so what do we call that? The dot-com boom, all right? Here comes everybody's chip body, another collective thing. But you create your own converged media space. All right, so then the fifth phase of this Android meme is the Dobbs Quadrant, and you all know who the greatest artist of that fucking quadrant is.
Bob Dean.
Yeah, Bob Dean. Good one. Yeah, Bob Dean, whoever he is. He's the guy who understood the process of the Android meme, played back the Android meme. The Android meme loves Bob, starts mirroring Bob back to Bob, right? And then we get personal theater, you get all this synchronicity and Zanarchy represented today by Will Arrowhead. Did we say what you did? I'm not beer? Yeah, we said that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's the point, though. This whole chart, since it's from 60 to 90, and the art form in the Dobbs Quadrant is dated 1990. And it's the anthropomorphic physical, which means the Android meme is getting more and more disappeared, and it's making people think that they're bigger than the media, which really happens 10 years, 15 years after the chart is made in this decade with YouTube, MySpace, and all that stuff. They, what they call Web 2.0, right? So Dobbs, it's all about me. Okay, so the Dobbs quadrant is 60 to 90. We look at these dates, 60, 65, 70, and 80, for the previous four quadrants.
The Dobbs quadrant is not 60 to 90.
Ah, you didn't notice. What is it?
Well, it's 77 to 92. Oh, 69, oh, over on the right, I'm sorry.
Yes, over on the right. Within the phase, 77 and 9, I'm glad you brought that up. I do have to clarify that. 77 to 92 is the period when I have my big, big headaches as an employee of the Secret Council 10. And it was not a very good time. I mean, I had a pretty good life within it, but there were a lot of murders and crap and distraction and bad stuff going on, and it wasn't until February 88, 41 years ago, February 88, when I took over the Secret Council 10 and then managed to dismantle it by 1990. Now, I put 77 and 92 in there because Nelson Thal's Bob's Media Ecology comes out in 92, but these are just numbers. It's just approximate. It's really, you enumerate them by the actual environment that's been created by technology and then the Android meme. So it can be overlapped 60 to 92 or 60 to 90 or 59 to 91. But anyways, since it's a visual image, therefore alphabetic and precise, I put precise dates there. So 77 to 92 is the hidden work by me that's going to lead to the victory over the Android meme, which is what I claim I've been doing 15 years, celebrating the victory of the of us over the Android meme. So, the chart.
Yeah, why? Since we were in the grips of the Android meme during that period, this period you're discussing, what gave you the confidence to believe that we would? What was your insight that we were going to conquer this thing?
It was Carolyn's medical breakthroughs and cold fusion, which happened in 89. I saw, I'm the first person to see the meaning of cold fusion, metaphysically and other levels. And that's, I really got conscious of that just after 1990, and then I spelled it out in this chart. This chart is, see, it's sort of, okay, the Android meme is 60 to 90, covers all five quadrants, but the fifth quadrant, which we're trying to get into tonight, is about, since it's the bottom, it's the most hidden effect that's starting to surface. And so the work to create the victory goes on from 77 to 92, but it actually starts to happen in 90 as a figure, and that's what the announcement of cold fusion. So that from 1990 on, actually to 2020, it's lockdown Bob rule, because the hidden effects of the meaning of the work of 77 and 92 starts to become more obvious. It's taken now, 18 years, 19 years, but people can understand it more now, because the chart is a picture of the after image of the Android meme, because it came out in the mid-90s. So it's I'm showing the victory. So that's why the Dobbs quadrant is 60 to 90. It's all about the events from 60 to 90 that led to 1990's triumphant takeover by Dobbstown. And the meaning of Dobbstown is complex, and it even includes people claiming that Bob Dean is Dobbstown, you know, that kind of stuff. The point I'm making here, and this is all introductory to before we go into the names in the Dobbs quadrant, the point is, as you see this McLuhan pattern of the previous environment becomes an art form, that is embedded in the chart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what, that's the big view here. You're watching the Android meme replay this what McLuhan called cliche to archetype process. Remember the four phases. Something is the last word. It's new. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread, that phrase. You know, the latest new thing, the iPhone. And then after a while, newer technology comes along, so the iPhone becomes garbage or obsolete. But then later, it will be retrieved as an art form. And then after it's an art form and been established, like video art, you know, by the year 2000, when I went to the Guggenheim Museum and had a big show of all five floors of Nam June Paik's video art. And on the top floor was the original video footage of him distorting the face of McLuhan. So he becomes an archetype by year 2000. That means a collective thing. I mean, millions of people went and saw that show, and they never knew anything about video art, but they showed up to see the archetypalizing of Nam June Paik. So, and the archetypal phase, you know, in previous centuries took so long. But in the 20th century, with such turnover of technologies, the cliched archetype phase, or last word to art form phase, that happens faster. So McLuhan, in 1970, did a book, From Cliché to Archetype, about this process of something going from last word to cliché to art form to archetype. But he only used two of the words of the four, from cliché to archetype. Where were they going with that? So that's why on the other chart, they're called archetypes. All right? And you look on this chart, and at the top it says, I'm just taking mine and looking at it, says cyclotron, the third line, cyclotron of homeopathic cliche probes. Whereas it's more in the Bob Dobbs form of the chart, stress on the archetype. So these are cliche probes, and cliche probes are new. How do I say this?
It's post-cliche to archetype, the cliche probes, aren't they?
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. When you have everything becomes archetypal under the satellite environment, then anything can become temporarily new. And it's always old, so it's a cliche, but it becomes a probe. And so the Android meme is probing the history of human culture and replaying its cliches, hoping to get archetypal intensity. And its final archetypal projection is that you think you're in charge and don't even know there's an Android meme creating that possibility. Okay, so...
Or there's the, as you pointed out in your talk, when you you updated or you made some new distinctions to your formula, where there's sort of this oscillation going on, where they're flipping back and forth, where we're not sure whether or not the Android meme's still going to conquer us, or we're going to conquer the Android meme, but we know we're in the race.
Yeah, that's 1990 to 2020.
Right.
Yeah, lockdown Bob Rule starts in 1990, and then becomes more obvious by now, 2009, and we, you know, a fait accompli in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So the, see, I'm not looking at the details of the chart. I'm just looking at the big picture here about the chart. See, the anchor of the chart is the anthropomorphic physical quadrant. It's a Dobbs quadrant, because his covers 60 to 90, which is the content part of the chart, 60 to 90. Even though the 1960 radio phase includes the human technological phase of 1840 to 1900, right? It's like Chinese dolls inside Chinese dolls, or boxes within boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and that's interesting. The box is created by visual space. So an artist puts a frame around things. That's traditional image of art. You put a frame around it. So this framing process is what's going on when you're presenting it as a chart. A chart is visual, it's alphabetic as I present it, so it's going to bring in that archetypal process of framing. Even though Android meme conditions are a seamless web and there's no frame possible, but I'm trying to show this process and making the risky attempt to use an obsolete medium as a chart. And so my chart is the new formula for what's happened. It's the new E equals MC squared, and it shows you in 1995 and predicts all this happening that's going to happen between 1990 and 2020. And because it's based around the Dobbs thing as the anchor, the foundation of the thing, which subsumes the previous four charts, because that is the foundation, then the meaning is pointed to of the chart. The meaning of the chart, it points to the meaning of what I'm doing. And so I show a picture. Here is the Android beam, what it did to us from 1960 to 1990. It's now gone, and we can now see it. It is an art form itself. So I turned the Android beam into an art form. Now, what's incredible is the Xenocrity that came out of that. 1999, they make the movie, the Matrix series for me. They make all these other things. And then it becomes personal when I start meeting people. It did happen in Toronto and in New York, but it gets really good when people like Doug Carr and Will show up, and Ad Absurdum, and anybody else, and they're totally inside the Dobbstown thing. And we just had it brought up to date with Will. He's marking Bob all over the place when he's 9 years old, which is interesting. That would be 1992, right? That's when the album came out. That's when the Lockdown Bob Rule really started to surface, because when Nelson put that album out, it drew attention to me across North America in a wholly empathic sense. You know, got interviewed by a few counterculture places, and that I was not on Nightline or anything, but that didn't matter. Just the recognition outside of my locale in Toronto was powerful. So the Xenocrony started happening after 92, once the album came out, across the culture. So that when I end up in L.A. in 93, all this Xenocrony shows up there, and then I meet Scott, and Xenocrony happens with him. But what was interesting, I remember being in L.A. from February 93 till August 93, and we used to go to a lot of events at the, what was that place called? The Phoenix Bookstore. And I'd go with Jerry, and the album had been out for a year, and there was lots of controversy in the States about the album, and Bob Dean, and the Canadian Bob Dobbs, and all that stuff. And I would meet people. Jerry would bring it out to them, or something would come up, and he wouldn't tell them who I was, but several times I listened to people rant about the Canadian Bob Dobbs, how he ripped off the Churches of Some Genius. And they're saying this to me, you know, in the parking lot, 9:30 at night, and of course Jerry and I are winking at each other, and we just let the guys go on and rant on, and then I'd tell them, well, no, I'd say what I hear, and I've been to Canada, I'd say, and we wait to see if they recognize my voice. Usually they didn't. I'd say, I've been to Canada, I think it's a whole different story than what you're hearing, and better check that out, and so on. That was happening. So, I mean, I was getting effects of the album, you know, for the next couple of years around the United States, all based on a hallucination, right? That none of them had it right. One guy said that Bob Dean was in jail. He'd been raked through the courts. So I was going around studying my own effects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was all pretty tiny back then, but now look what's happened. I now work with the reconvened solar government, the richest people in the world. We're bringing in the coal fusion. We're actually going to save your fucking asses. And that was all what I claimed 20 years ago. Claimed that I was going to do that. Okay.
Did you ever meet with Pons and Fleischman, by the way?
No. I let them drift around. But
I never did,
Scott, but new things are happening.
Yeah, but they...
Right, and I can't tell you what I'm doing right now.
Right, but you guys weren't funding them. They did this on their own.
Yep. It's interesting, eh? Or is that an art form? You see, part of the meaning, if the Holypathic Radio Satellite LaRouche Quadrant is radio within the Android meme, and McLuhan Holypathic Television is the next phase, and then the William Merriman Thompson Holypathic Computer. Okay, so radio and television can be subsumed into the TV landscape, which becomes smaller, and therefore the TV body, or the TV, the person's body becomes bigger than the TV landscape, so therefore we call it the TV body. Then the Thompson level is the computer, the Thompson and Croker quadrant are the chip body.
body is the Dobbs Quadrant. A mystery body. And this whole thing about Obama, or B. Obama, or Bob AMA, Bob Ama, he's the mystery body, as Android meme representative in the White House. Well, he's expressing aspects of me, and I'm definitely mystery body, since right now there's four names going around about who they think I am. Bob Dean, Bob Marshall, Bob Nevert, Bob Dobbs, and Rumpelstiltskin, the guy that if you don't know his name, you can't control. So the mystery body is embedded in the Dobbs Quadrant. You get that, Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've acted that out. That's why I'm the greatest playwright today. What my theater, within the old meme of theater, and you have a stage and you're performing, the individual actor, that's only one-fifth of the operation, but within the meme of theater, there's nobody doing theater like me. And that theater involves the audience freaking out from having Xenocrony with me. I'm sure Will has had many sleepless nights once he realized a couple weeks ago what had happened to him. So, what kind of theater is that? But it includes ESP. So cloning ESP is what the analog media did, and voluntary ESP is what the digital media created, because as an effect, you can disconnect from the cloned ESP and create your own thing. So we've been sort of going through the disconnecting parts of these five phases. The Beatles disconnected from corporate control. Video art disconnected from television control. Gates and Jobs disconnected from IBM mainframe control. Netscape, and note, you know, when you get to Netscape level, it's like the Android meme making itself and making you think you're free. You know, it's just technology. No, nobody did anything to no human in general who's got his iPhone today had any involvement on the surface in the making of this situation where he's in bigger than the media now. So that's the Netscape phase, or the Croker chip body phase. So then, what is
right now? We're it seems to me we're disconnecting collectively from corporate control. You know,
and corporate control, yes, has disappeared, and nobody knows where to reconnect to. And so, what did Dobbs do? He moved to the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Very hard to connect with Dobbs in the chemical body level here. All right, so the. And I'm not talking about Dobbs in the third person, okay, even though it sounds like it. Just, it's one of the five bodies. So I mean myself when I go, Dobbs. Okay, so...
we don't know what you are, you know, the mystery body, we don't know what you are. See, it just occurred to me that you've been talking about how you've illustrated how each new stage, each new communications technology platform obsolesces the previous one, and then you say that you're the foundation for the obsolescence of all these previous technological environments, but you're not technology. So how is it that something that's not technology then can obsolesce technological landscapes? And
I'm the meaning of cold fusion, which I spell out in the Up the Orphic Ante essay back at the time I was making the chart, and that essay explains the chart. I'm the figure for cold fusion, which is the merger of first and second nature.
Right.
So I'm involved with
technology. So that sort of makes you the John the Baptist, actually, because it's the cold fusion which is obsolescing our present condition.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
And you are your holopathic vibration, I think, is I believe is having an effect in helping to birth the meme of the cold fusion, which will help to actually usher in the reality or the fact of the cold fusion.
Right, now, that's good that you bring up John the Baptist, because remember on the earlier Bob Marshall charts, the top-down identity chart, no, was it the bottom-up? The final phase was the Second Coming.
Mm-hmm.
So there, and I'm explaining the Second Coming, and therefore I'm initiating it, John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. So that works.
And, you know, even in the spiritual seekers for years have been saying, you know, the ones who've shifted away from the fundamentalist thinking of the idea of a centralized Christ who heads up a hierarchy, is that the new Second Coming will become when we all become sort of like like the Christ, and we all work. We all, you know, all of us fit together to create the Christ, as opposed to it being, you know, one individual. So, and the cold fusion kind of represents that liberation again from the corporate hierarchy and the political dominance of single dictators and all of that kind of stuff, where we will figure out how to. Each one of us at home will figure out how to become part of this huge collective, creating our world, as opposed to having it being created for us by top-down rulership.
Yes. Top-down what?
Rulership.
Yeah, and that's the message of Finnegan's Wake. Here comes everybody.
Yeah, now Joyce couldn't have possibly... Was he thinking ahead to cold fusion, or was he just being a channel for something he didn't even understand himself?
Well, he made the breakthrough of making a book where language talked about the history of language, and language was a multi-sensuous, multimedia meaning for him.
The written word was talking. This is the literate aspect of language, is reflecting on all other language.
Yes, it's the I. It's the. That's why Finnegan's Wake is used in the Bob Dobbs formula chart. That this chart, the tiny note chart, comes out of, like Adam's rib, it comes out of a certain phase. I don't know if I ever said that to you, Will, but you'd have to hear the tapes. We go into that at the beginning. Remember, this tiny note chart comes out of the Dobbs formula chart. Dobbs formula chart is based, has layers of Finnegan's Wake in it. And that is within Tiny Note Chart. You do have Joyce in the Dobbs Quadrant. James Joyce is right there.
Yeah.
But
so
this one,
the Finnegan's...
Let me just say this, Scott, but it's complemented by Zappa, because the Grand Wazoo and Zappa terms like Xenocrony are in this one more than Finnegan's Wake. You see?
Yeah, Zappa is the acoustic response to Joyce's visual... merge the eye.
Finney's Wake tactile eye, and Frank is tactile ear.
Yeah. Okay.
Then they
as best as can be done. I mean, the eye is still the visual space is still fractioned out from the other senses, but it's the best you can do to try to merge it.
Yeah, tactile eye means that the eye, its separate aspect, has been brought back in. And that is actually probably why people get, quote, psychic or become mediums. That's an expression of the eye being brought in back in resonance with the rest of the senses. So Zappa was psychically in the ear world. Now, both Joyce and Zappa were not just eye or ear. They were all the senses. But they picked particular media, Joyce the eye with its writing, and Zappa with music. The ear, as they figure for their tactile ground of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what?
It's interesting that Zappa didn't really, as far as we know, appreciate Joyce while he was incarnated as a composer, but he.
No, he did. Do you know, as Ben Watson, I think, brings this out when he interviews Frank just before he dies, he brings up Ulysses and Joyce, and Zappa says, "Yes, I looked at his book, and I just sort of looked at it a little short while, and I said, yep, this guy does it right."
Oh.
That's all that Frank had to do.
Oh,
what did you say?
Well, when Bob Marshall asked him about Finnegan's Wake, he sloughed it off.
That was in 1985. Bob Marshall asked him what he thought of Finnegan's Wake, and he says, "I don't know why it should be published. I don't know why it was published."
Mm-hmm.
That's all he said. Bob Marshall should have pursued it more. But then when I had a chance to talk to Frank through the Evergreens, and this was a conversation with Zappa, James Joyce, and McLuhan together. That's an amazing thing. I haven't released that yet. And this was done late 90s or within the early part of this decade. Zappa said in the conversation, me asking what Joyce was doing, asking McLuhan what he was doing, if there was any similarities, Zappa says, "Well, I was doing that," and whatever Joyce and McLuhan had said. And basically it was like merging everything, including everything. In the concept of the big note, and Zappa's the one who says the big note, but McLuhan and Joyce were talking about it before Frank spoke up. And
He's idea. I said, no, how'd you do that? You said you didn't know why Finnegan's Wake was published, as reported by Bob Marshall. And he says, yes, I was so impressed with it that it was an amazing fact that it got published.
Mm.
So it was the exact opposite. You can take it either way. Well, I'm amazed it got published. You might assume in a certain move, oh, yeah, it's a crap. Well, the other level of amazement is that it's that's so fantastic. How come such fantastic stuff made it into the mainstream? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he said he meant that. And then he goes on to explain how his music was exactly what he was trying to communicate was similar to what McLuhan and Joyce had already said in the session. Now, you could say these are fake spirits and they're not really James Joyce or anybody. Yeah, that's true. Who knows? But it's just another source of information, and we're all quoting, grasping for straws in today's situation. So I bring in the Astro Archive, and I just say what he said through the Evergreens.
Mm-hmm.
So we did get it redone. Have I ever told you that before, Scott?
Don't think so.
Oh, I guess not, yeah. So, okay, so why don't we start going into the particulars in the Dobbs Quadrant, the particular names, to help fill out what I still have to say on this big picture level of the phases of art form, cliche and archetype process. But if we focus on the details, maybe it'll bring up other things I forgot to say.